So here we are, the month of February, which is the month of heart health. And remember that the heart, your heart, is not just your physical heart. It's your heart of love, your heart of longing, your heart of protection. And in the Eastern Chinese system, the heart as well is the brain of the universe, of your body. The heart is just not the physical beating heart. It's the heart that governs and controls. It's got that heart variability factor that we talk about. And what does that mean? It helps us keep beat and keep track, and it becomes the rhythm for our bodies to follow. Interesting concept. But this month, let's focus on your healthy heart and how we can keep your heart ticking way beyond 40. So whether you're 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, how about 150? Do you want to try that on for size? Well, that's my goal, to see that we can live to be 150 and healthy with a healthy heart, a happy heart. I want to do that. I want to focus on that. And I want to think about it as if I'm 150, then I'm not only healthy, I've got joints that function. I have a clear brain. I have an open heart. And I'm happy to be 150. Wrap your head around that for a minute. Now, we all know that just turning 40 is a big milestone. Usually by then, most of us know who we are. We have friends. We have family. We maybe have a spouse or not. We have children or not. We've all developed our unique lifestyle to follow. Sometimes, however, we want to change that lifestyle. And that's fine too, because at any age, you can transform, you can dream, you can recreate yourself from the inside out. And my motto has been, make your body a better place to live. And it's time for recreation. So no matter what your cardiovascular state right now is, whether you think it's healthy or you think it's not healthy, it's time to focus in on that and to make whatever changes need to be made and to readjust your life. It's time to start fresh. And February, being in the beginning of the year, is the perfect time for that. I always like to say the Chinese New Year, which happens sometime between the end of January and the middle of February, is a good time to start. But, you know, amidst the hustle and bustle and chaos of all the things that are going on in the world and all the things that the drama that goes on in your life, we need to center ourselves and start with the breath. So one step at a time, one breath at a time, and just settle in, focus on what you want. Try not to get so distracted, because it's time to just prioritize your health, because health is wealth. And the health of your heart takes precedence. Without a beating heart, we no longer exist. And as I said, the good news is that it's never too late. Focus on your cardiovascular health. Focus on the harmony of your health. Focus on the peace of your heart that allows you to have an open heart, clear mind. So here are some key ways that I believe will put you on that path. Number one is you need to move. Move it or lose it. Exercise is like magic for your heart. And you want to aim for at least, ideally, 10 to 15 minutes a day to start. And then you can always add to that. But if you haven't been exercising, just don't stress it too much. Even 1 minute to start is a good starting place. And remember, the Chinese say, the journey of 1,000 miles starts with the first step. So follow that. One step in front of the other step in front of the other step. You want to try to get up to some vigorous exercise, but I like to recommend something called perceived exertion. As long as you're actually activating the heart muscles and getting that oxygen flow, it's important to get the air in, because that, you know, gives you the oxygen, and then the exhalation blows out your carbon dioxide, which is considered toxic to the system. But the idea is perceived exertion is, imagine you're just kind of walking quickly to get to the train or walking quickly to not miss an appointment. So it's that level. And some of us are runners. I'm not. Some of us, you know, are jumpers. Some of us are dancers. Whatever your fun thing to do is, just start doing it. If you like to dance, if you like to move, do it to music, do it to meditation, do it to silence. Whatever turns you on, just start doing something. If you like to swim, whatever it is, jumping jacks. I say, you know, do 10 jumping jacks and that gets you on your way. Do some stretching. Do something so that your muscles feel like they're alive. But don't stress too much in the beginning. Go gentle and be easy on yourself. And then you can always accelerate from where you start. The second thing is be a friend to fruits and vegetables. Fruits and vegetables are natural. They're filled with phytonutrients, and phyto meaning plant-based. And the nutrients that are the healthiest really are the darker colored veggies and fruits, like the dark green leafy vegetables, the cruciferous vegetables, the dark berries, the pomegranate, cherries, melons. Just think the colors of the rainbow. If you had a plate and you filled it with different colors, ideally that would be a meal for you, right? The purple of eggplant, the green of peppers, the yellow of peppers, the yellow of squash, the green of zucchini. Try to mix and match it. Try to not have the same thing 2 days in a row, and you'll find that you'll get an array of nutrients because every color will give you a different mineral and vitamin that your body needs. And remember, vitamins are vitamins because we do not produce them in our body. So we need to get it from an outside source, preferably healthy, fresh food. Number three is choose healthy fats. So what does that mean? You know, fats had a bad reputation for a long time. And the idea was that, oh, no, everything fat-free. Well, guess what? We have a need for essential fatty acids because, once again, we don't make essential fatty acids and they are essential for our body's growth. And they're also anti-inflammatory. So think the omega-3, which primarily is coming from your fish source, primarily salmon, tuna is going to be healthy sources, sardines and mackerel. If you don't like the taste of that, then go back to your salmon and tuna. There's also hemp seed. So there's different seeds. There's chia seeds that'll give you some omega-3. There's flaxseed. So you can take it in flaxseed over your cereals. You can have flaxseed oil capsules. Lot of different choices that we have if you just start to look around, and avoid any of the trans or saturated fats. The trans fats are usually the ones that are found in fried foods and in processed foods as well. The omega-6 is the oil that you want to limit quantity of. We really want the ratio of omega-3 to be higher than omega-6. So omega-6 tends to be some of the seeds and nut oils, and not that they're necessarily bad for you, but you're going to get much more health benefits from the omega-3, and too many omega-6s will knock out the omega-3 benefits. So think about olive oils, think about avocado oils, avocados, different nuts and seeds to actually get some of those nutrients and healthy fats into our diet. Now, we know that too many unhealthy fats can both raise cholesterol, but the good fats actually raise HDL. So HDL is considered the good cholesterol, where LDL is considered the bad cholesterol. That's a simplistic way of looking at it because it's a little bit more complex than that. And cholesterol is really not the bad guy necessarily. What's bad is the inflammatory levels in our bloodstream. And that's created, one, by stress. It's created by high blood pressure. So number four looks at keeping tabs on your blood pressure and keeping somewhat tabs on your cholesterol. Now, as I said, cholesterol is not the bad guy, so you don't necessarily have to get it so low And you don't necessarily have to do it with drugs. I mean, you could do it with eating healthy and exercise, which would be the two main ways to actually balance your cholesterol. You know, getting regular checkups, checking your blood pressure, getting regular blood tests would be ways to manage what your levels are and start to work from there. I always propose, let's start with what's natural and what's available. So the first availability is really what I call lifestyle medicine, and that's choosing the right foods and foods that are less inflammatory in nature. And inflammatory foods tend to be fried foods, particularly red meats or an excessive amount of red meat. Also, foods that tend to have that high saturation or trans fat, a lot of artificial sweeteners and high salt diets. I mean, so all of those will tend to be inflammatory in nature. So the other thing is really trying to figure out what your stress level is. And chronic stress can certainly take a high toll on your heart health. So stress unto itself is not necessarily bad, because there is good stress and bad stress. So good stress might be exposing yourself to the cold versus exposing yourself to heat. Those are all stressors on the body. But we have found, you know, through research projects, that that's actually considered a good stress, because the more the body is stressed through heat or cold, the more the body will learn to adapt and have that flexibility, which is important. And, you know, we have something with heat called turning on heat shock proteins. And with cold, like those ice, you know, polar dips, we turn on the cold shock protein. And, you know, varying between the two of these, they both in different ways start to enhance your immune system. So it's not a bad thing to be too hot, and not a bad thing to be too cold. Of course, if it has a long-term effect on your blood pressure, then you want to just minimize the amount you're doing it. So if you did a far infrared sauna for maybe 30 minutes every day, that's perfectly fine. Or a cold plunge every day, or a cold shower every day for, you know, 1 to 3 to 5 minutes, that's really great. And so your body learns that adaptability, which is really perfect, and we could all benefit from. So the other thing that manages stress really are breathing techniques, meditation, yoga, spending time in nature, something called grounding, where you actually put your bare feet on earth, Mother Earth. Having social interaction, connecting with loved ones, laughing, my favorite, and all ways to de-stress before the stress gets to the point that it becomes overwhelming to you. So these are habits, what we call longevity lifestyle medicine, that you want to practice every day to some extent. So whether it's 1 minute to start or 20 minutes twice a day is ideal, but do something. Just start by doing some self-care, which is nurturing to you and helps you to feel good. If you're not used to any of these practices, of course, it may be difficult to begin, but as the Chinese say, the journey of 1,000 miles starts with the first step. So start somewhere. Just start. The other bonus tips, I would say, would be looking at your salt intake and your sugar intake. Certainly, salt can activate and increase blood pressure. So if you have a sensitivity to salt, and you'll know that because some people just start having some salt and their blood pressure goes crazy. There might be a genetic predisposition for that. But also the fact that we, you know, if you taste natural foods, some foods have natural salt, like celery has a high salt content naturally, but we in our diets tend to add so much additional salt that in itself, I mean, I have not seen anyone who had too much celery and therefore had too high of blood pressure. I've just never seen it. It's usually coming from added additives. Just keep adding that salt. And what we do know is that we have taste buds, and the more salt you have, the less sensitive you become to salt, until you take it away, have no salt, and then start to add a little bit at a time, and you will be very sensitive to the taste of salt. So if you're having too much salt, you just become desensitized. So you might put excessive amounts of salt and not even taste it until it's too much. Same thing with sugar. We have taste buds for sugar. And with all the processed foods, I mean, if you tasted a natural like orange or an apple, it usually has not the same sweetness as having a pastry or a pastry or a cookie. And it's the difference is vast. If you haven't been eating processed baked goods and you've just been eating fruits and vegetables all the time, you will know that there's a difference. As a matter of fact, if you come off a lot of the processed foods, the baked goods and or cakes and cookies that you're baking and adding a lot of sugar, if you come off that, again, your taste buds will readjust to more natural sugar, which is in natural fruits and vegetables, not so sweet. You know, you'll get a more sweetness in, let's say, melons in the summer or cantaloupe in the summer. So there's more sweetness, but no one that I know has ever developed diabetes from eating fruit. Generally, it's a condition because we've added processed foods and high amounts of sugar and high amounts of additives to it. So always think natural, start simply, start one foot at a time, one breath at a time. And you can really easily, if you start that, see lowered high blood pressure, see lowered cholesterol, see increased memory, increased brain clarity, increased energy, and increased activity. The other bonus tip is getting enough sleep. So most of us say, you know, when I'm dead, I'll get enough of sleep then. But that's not true. The latest research actually shows that the more sleep we have, preferably 8 to 10 hours, I know it sounds like a lot, maybe even up to 12 hours, and it's all individual. I mean, some people need 7, some people need 9, some people need 10. So it's all individual preference somehow. But the more sleep we get, the more we go into a deep REM sleep, the more the body has the ability to heal and recuperate. Because if we don't get into that deep REM sleep, the body doesn't really go into that deep state of relaxation. And that's problematic for most of us. So think about longevity and think about sleeping more. Think about if you're going to take a nap, do just a power nap. So don't do an hour nap, do a 15 or 20 minute nap, or simply meditate for 20 minutes. And the body through meditation will realign, will adapt to stress, will release stress. And basically you're going to wake up more refreshed than when you went to sleep. If you sleep too long, you actually can start going into a deeper sleep. And then when you interrupt that deep sleep, you feel kind of frustrated, groggy, brain fog. I mean, you just don't feel well at all. So I always say cut back on naps. And if you're going to take a nap, either make it a short nap, like what we call a power nap, or just a short nap. Do a 10, 15 minute and put the timer on, or simply meditate for 15 minutes in the mid-afternoon, never at night, never at bedtime. But take a little short nap or a short meditation mid-afternoon, and you'll really feel the difference. The other thing is no smoking, no vaping. Ideally, you want to just eliminate really obvious sources of toxins in your body. And everyone will handle this differently. But the idea is, you know, if you're a smoker, it will be a little bit harder to quit. But start a little bit at a time. Just start eliminating 1, 2, 3 cigarettes a day. Get down to, I have patients that smoke like 1 to 2 a day. And I say, if you're down to 1 to 2, maybe you should go down to 0 and make a bigger effect, the biggest effect. So the idea is that you want to keep heart health, but heart health is also related to lung health. The other thing is alcohol consumption. So we know we've read lots of varying studies about this. Some people say absolutely no alcohol, and some studies, such as the Blue Zone, which was not a professional study per se, but just looking at people around the world sociologically for who lived to be the oldest and who lived to have, you know, more people over 100 within their society. And generally, those people tended to have some form of alcohol. And usually it was generally wine. And it was also done in a communal community setting. So that seems to make the difference, whether you're, you know, drinking alone at night or you're drinking because you're drinking with dinner and you're drinking with friends or family, and it's more of a social interaction. And generally, then you're not going to be excessively drinking like that. And last but not least, I want to say, you know, small changes make big differences. Right. You heard it. Small changes make big differences. So wherever you are and wherever you want to be, there's a gap. Figure out what you need to fill in that gap, but start one step at a time. The important thing is just to start. And remember that one step leads to two and three, and that a body in motion will stay in motion. The important thing is just to get into motion. However you need to do that, just start. Start today. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to your heart. This is your heart. It's the one that you have, the one you were born with. Now, of course, with the advent of AI and laser and stem cells, you may be able to get a new heart. You may need a new heart. But let's start with the heart that we have already and figure out how we proclaim that February is Heart Healthy Month and that health is wealth. It's the wealth that you don't need to buy. You just need to start taking care of yourself one step at a time. So happy February, everybody. Heart Health Month is here. Harmonize health, wealth. Create peace in your heart and peace in your mind. And let's go forward. And as I like to say, ciao, ciao for now.